everybody. It's Melissa here for Teaching Tuesday. And I am going to talk about Generation. But it's a little bit about fashion shows, and it's the Pharisees and confrontation. So I will explain. Here's the backstory. Is I've had thoughts in about low self-esteem and having low self-esteem and what to do about it and different things. And one of my pastors told me that I need to read about where Jesus confronted the Pharisees, right? Because Jesus did not care about the Pharisees and what they thought, what they were thinking. Like, he was concerned about his people, all right? You know, the sheep that was going to come in and the harvest and the reason he was there. Because the Pharisees had a religious spirit and were unwilling to change. They were unwilling to listen. They rebelled against God. Right? And so Jesus wasn't really concerned with them all that much, but he was concerned about the people that they were affecting, the people they were leading, because they were the modern day, like, lawyers, police officers, and judges, right? That's the Pharisees' position. They were the judge, the jury, and the executioner with the laws back then. And so they kind of did, like, whatever they wanted for a lot of things and had people under a lot of bondage. So I was reading, it's Matthew 23 in the Message translation. And I had talked before about, like, get up and get dressed, which comes from Romans 13 in the Message translation, about how, like, we want to be dressed like Christ. Well, turns out in Matthew 23, it starts off with a religious fashion show, right? It says, Jesus turned to talk to his disciples and to the crowd that had gathered, and he said, the religion scholars and Pharisees are competent teachers in God's law. You won't go wrong in following their teachings on Moses. But be careful about following them. They talk a good line, but they don't live it. They don't take it into their hearts and live it out in their behavior. It's all spit and polished veneer. So instead of giving you God's laws, food and drink, by which you can banquet on God, right? Have a feast with God, right? Learn all of this wonderful things about God. Let it fill you. Let it satisfy you, right? Give you energy to complete things. They package it in bundles of rules, loading you down like pack animals. They seem to take pleasure in watching you stagger under these loads and wouldn't think of lifting a finger to help you. Their lives are perpetual fashion shows, embroidered prayer shawls one day and flowery prayers the next. They love to sit at the head table at church dinners, basking in the most prominent positions, preening in the radiance of public flattery, receiving honorary degrees, and getting called doctor and reverend. So Jesus is saying that after, like, don't let people do that to you. Don't let people put you on a pedestal. Like, you have a teacher, you have me, you have Jesus, you have God. Like, follow those instructions, right? Don't let people maneuver you and manipulate you into taking charge and different things. There is only one leader for you and for them, and that's Christ, okay? So he talks about how basically the Pharisees, and it says in another translation, like, they made their tassels longer to make them look, like, more holy. They put on, like, a bigger patch than was normal to, like, really show off the fact that they were a priest or a reverend or that they were a Pharisee and different things like that, right? So the Pharisees were good teachers. They taught the law of Moses well, but they didn't have the heart behind it. Those teachings didn't get into their heart. And so Jesus was then correcting that. And then later on, he talks about them and calls them all frauds, okay? He's like, I've had it with you. You're hopeless, you religion scholars, you Pharisees, you're frauds, you're roadblocks to God's kingdom. So a roadblock, it blocks the entrance, not just for that person, but for everybody else. He's like, you refuse to enter and won't let anyone else in either, okay? He tells them, like, you know, they're hopeless, they're arrogant, stupidity. And then he tells them, like, hey, if someone makes a promise with his fingers crossed, that's nothing to you. But if he swears with his hand on the Bible, that's serious. He's like, how dumb is that? I'm paraphrasing, by the way, okay? He goes, does the leather on the Bible carry more weight than the skin on your hands? He's like, what about if you shake hands on a promise? That's nothing. But if you raise your hand, that's God as your witness. Like, what difference does that make, right? Whether you shake a hand or raise hands, a promise is a promise. So, like, Jesus is pointing out that it's your word. Like, it doesn't matter whether you place your hand on the Bible or whether you, like, shake hands or whether you, like, spit or something like that. He's like, it should be a promise is a promise. God is present and watching and holding you accountable regardless of whether you hold your hand up or down, you know? So he's talking about, like, their bookkeeping, how they keep track of things. He's like, again, you're hopeless. You're, like, making your cups and bowls look, like, so sparkly, but meanwhile, like, your spiritual state is not good, filled with greed and gluttony. I'm trying to find to the part. Calls them, you know, murderers, cold-blooded snakes. Right? Okay. He says, it's in verse 33 and 34. It says, snakes, cold-blooded snake, sneaks. Do you think you can worm your way out of this? Never have to pay the piper. It's on account of people like you that I send prophets and wise guides and scholars generation after generation and generation after generation. You treat them like dirt, greeting them with lynch mobs, hounding them with abuse. Okay? So Jesus is concerned about the generations, right? And he was concerned, like, Jesus confronted the Pharisees because of how they were thinking, but because of all of the people they were influencing. He knew that they were basically hopeless, that very few of them, if any, would probably get saved. But he still talked to them, he still told them the word of God, and he still challenged them because he wanted the people to see, like, they were oppressing so many people, and he did not want the people under all that bondage, right? All that religious rules and different things. And so he calls them out on that. And he even mentioned, like, it's on account of people like you that God has to send prophets and wise guides and scholars to tell them that they're in the wrong, right? To tell them and correct them, like, no, this isn't what, like, God has said. This is what God has said. What I am speaking is what God has said. And so he just goes and continues to, you know, correct the Pharisees, basically. And it's, he says some pretty, like, tough stuff. He's like, you've murdered the prophets, right? Like, from the beginning of time, you can't squirm out of this. Like, every drop of righteous blood ever spilled on this earth was because of you, basically. It's coming down on you. He's like, you are going to be desolate. You have nothing. It'll be nothing but a ghost town. He's like, and basically, Jesus was like, I'm leaving. Like, I'm not sticking around for this, you know? Knowing that they weren't going to change, that they were hopeless, that they were frauds, and that they've built, like, they've done everything for the wrong reason. And they weren't interested in changing their hearts, right? The far majority of them were too proud to admit that Jesus was right and they were wrong. And to realize that he was the Messiah, that he was the one that they were waiting for. They were too caught up and stuck up in the law and, oh, this is how things are supposed to be, and you can't, you know, like, go camping on Sundays because, you know, you're supposed to be resting, and it's work to carry things. You can't drink more than so much water at a time because it's too much work to lift the cup of water, right? You're not supposed to be doing this. You're not supposed to be doing that. You know, the only thing they were allowed to do on the Sabbath was, like, go feed their animals so that their animals didn't starve to death, but that was about it, and if they were caught carrying more than, you know, certain things, that was considered work. Like, but Jesus constantly pointed out to them that the Sabbath was created for man, and man was not created to serve the Sabbath, right? It was supposed to be a day of rest and just rejuvenation and relaxation and making sure that you spend time with the Lord, right? At the minimum, it was built in to do it one day a week, but that's the minimum, okay? I mean, if we look in Acts, they were in church every day, and they were meeting every day, and nobody lacked anything, okay? So you want to confront things that are harming people, right? You don't have to be afraid to, like, we're not constantly correcting people. That's not what confrontation is. Confrontation is altering belief systems because those belief systems are harmful to you, but also to others. So, like, Jesus targeted the Pharisees because they had the influence as well. And it was like a corrupt government. Like, he was correcting them and calling them out on things. But because he also had the law that he knew very well, they couldn't really do anything against him. Okay? And so when we confront things, we're confronting the spirit behind things, and we are exposing the truth, right? And telling the truth. It's not a being a nitpicky kind of thing where you're like, oh, you did this wrong and you did that wrong and we need to fix this and, like, you breathe wrong and I'm confronting you about this issue that I have with you breathing wrong. It's not anything like that, okay? Confrontation is to, like, expose, like, spirits of darkness, right? Expose evil and to tell people the truth about who they are and the freedoms that they can have so that they are not oppressed. That is the point of confrontation. Confrontation is like a win-win situation. You know, if the Pharisees had believed what Jesus had to said, it would have been a win for them because they would have gotten saved, right? And they would believe Jesus. it is a win for the people because they don't have to be under all this bondage and oppression. And it would have been a win for them. And it's a win for Jesus because he gets more people to be part of his family, which is the whole reason he came to earth to begin with. So, plus the Pharisees would have been set free. I mean, who has time to make all of those rules and enforce all of those rules? Like, it's a very controlling environment. And that's not how God operates. Like, God does not control people. He doesn't force them to do things they don't want to do. He doesn't force people to take actions that they don't want to take. Like, God's a gentleman, and he gives you options, and he created us with free will. And so we have the option to say no and to do things that we don't want to do. And keep in mind, all of those things do come with consequences. But that's the reason God gave us free will, because he wants us to choose him, right? He wants to give us that option. So, when we confront with boldness, right? And we confront with the truth, and we confront with the word of God, and we do it to help people. We do not do it to tear anybody down, right? Jesus was fully prepared. He knew what was happening. He chose a specific place and a specific time to do it. And he did it publicly because it was a public event and it affected the public. But he did not, like, berate them in private when they were berating him in public, right? Like, he responded and called them out, and there was no secrets. Like, the whole crowd could hear and see what was happening, and it was all recorded in the Bible. So it is accurate and it is true, okay? So I encourage you to confront things, like, not to run away from anything. Like, with the Word of God, we have all the power, we have all the knowledge, we have the wisdom, we have the understanding. Like, we're the ones with the answers, so we need to confront things so that way other people know that we have the answer, right? If what we're confronting probably has no intent on changing, and so we specifically say that and we call that out, right? We don't let them hide and sneak around and deceive people. And we don't let them badmouth us either. Like, as a Christian, like, Jesus didn't let them badmouth him anymore. And he corrected their belief system. So that way people knew and understood, right? So yeah, that's what I've been learning about confrontation, which I think is pretty amazing. Because I used to think it was calling people out on every little thing, and that you're basically making enemies. But you know what? They were already against Jesus because of the religious spirit that was in them. Like, they didn't, like, hate him any more than they already did. And they were already talking about him. So, Jesus just, you know, confronted them. And the confrontation brings peace. Like, all of those people then who were so concerned about, like, getting in trouble because they were just doing regular, everyday things on the Sabbath, you know, Jesus brought peace to their situation. He brought his authority and he spoke into it and released a lot of pressure that was on the people, right? And that's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to bring life and life more abundantly. That's John 10:10, right? It's the thief who has come to steal, kill, and destroy. So confrontation, it brings peace and it brings life and life more abundantly as the end result. It may look a little bit like kind of ugly in the meantime, but the end result is good, right? When God was creating the earth and creating the world and every stuff, you know, he created Adam, but then he realized, you know, oh, like, Adam was like, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. Like, and God realized that. And so then that's when he made him a helper. He gave him Eve, right? He gave him a woman to be a helper. Like, God is there as the end result to be helpful to us, right? And to make us complete and whole and good and give us good things. So that is the end result of confrontation. It is life and life more abundantly. And it is a win-win situation all around for those who choose to participate. Because as you know, you probably have met people who there's just no way to make them happy. Like, they have decided to be unhappy. They have decided to be negative. And if someone doesn't want to change, we cannot force them to change. We can pray for them. And pray that the light of God gets exposed to them and that they make that choice, but it still comes down to a choice. So that's confrontation. So I encourage you to confront belief systems and confront your own belief systems too. Like, when you come across something that you believe and you're like, that's not right, and you find that out, like, confront that within yourself and be like, why do I believe that? How do I get rid of that? What scripture can I use to cleanse that out of me and to get obliterate that belief system and to install the correct belief system, the word of God that brings life and life more abundantly. Thank you, everybody, for listening to me. And like I said, feel free to read Matthew 23 and let us know what revelation you get out of that, too. Thank you.